This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I'm going to talk you through our marketing questionnaire. Now, this is a document that we send off to clients ahead of taking on any retained work for them, particularly to do with content marketing or SEO. So this is a document that, to put this in context, by this point, we will have worked with a client before. So we do not offer retained services to clients that we've never serviced before. And there's some good reasons for that. I won't go into those right now, but please take it as the voice of experience that there's a good reason why we don't do that. So what we do is we have products and services that we can sell of increasing value to lead us into retained services. But that means that by the time a client actually sees this, and by the time we start working with somebody on a retained basis, we have already started working with them on ad hoc projects already, and therefore there's no surprises. They're used to paying us. We've worked with them before. We know who the points of contact are. We've sort of got past some of the formalities. There's a level of trust and understanding there. That's really what I'm trying to get at. So let's say that we have a client that's been through those things and we think that we're a good fit for them as a retained client. So we agree a strategy, we agree what we're going to do, we agree a fee, and then before we can start working, we need some more information from the client that's really going to tailor that experience. I should be perfectly honest and say with some clients, we send this questionnaire before we provide an estimate and a quote, particularly if we know that there's going to be a good chance of us getting it, because that really helps us tailor the quote. Other clients, you know, that they maybe need to get costs approved by boards and whatever. So rather than going through this whole process first, we may submit a sort of typical quote or an estimate, so which gives us a bit of leeway to sort of massage things up or down a little bit. And then once that is agreed, once we know that the project is a goer, we would then send the questionnaire. So I will put a link to the questionnaire in the show notes. So show notes for this episode will be at peteeverett.com/079. So if you go over there, you can click on a link and you can see the questionnaire itself. So to begin with, the questionnaire just collects some base company details. We do already have these, and to be perfectly honest, we sometimes pre-fill those, but it does give us the opportunity for to allow the client to specify maybe a different member of staff that is going to be responsible for this, so that our point of contact may change a little bit, and to collect their details, so that, you know, their name, their email address, their phone number. 9 times out of 10, we know who that is. I should say at this point that we deliver this as an editable PDF at the moment. We have tried using online platforms, but to be perfectly frank, with the clients that we work with, they feel more comfortable either using a PDF or a Word document, and then they just send it back. So, that's the way we do it. Hence, it's easy for me to give it to you guys as a download. So then we break into a few sections that the questionnaire is structured into. So the first one is, where do you want your business to be? So question one is looking at, what are the business goals you have for the next 12 months? And we give some examples of sales, profitability, number of customers. If you've done the Demystifying SEO course, we talk about a thing called the Circle of Truth, which I'm not going to dive into here, but it's basically starting to pick up on those themes. But particularly, we want to look at, where do you want to be in the next 12 months? And then question two is exactly the same question, actually, but it's, what are your business goals for the next 3 years? So we're wanting to work with people that have a drive. We're wanting to work with people that have a mission, that understand where they want their business to be, because that's not our job to give them a business. Our job is to expand their business into places that they didn't know it could go. So we don't want to, we need to get that balance right. When I'm talking about this in a sales meeting and people say, oh, it's up to you to tell me what to do, I'm like, well, in which case then I don't want a retainer, I want some shares. And you see them sit back in their chair and, oh, what, that's not what this is about. No, we're here to market your business. We're not here to do your business. So that's quite an important distinction to make. So section one, after the 12-month goals and the three-year goals, it then starts asking quite pointed questions about what your current turnover is and how much of that you generate online. We actually ask how much of this is through your website, because most of our customers, again, the website is their main conversion tool. They're not massively into social media or selling through social and that kind of thing. So we target it down to the website. We also ask, what do you want it to be and by when? Now, crucially, if they don't answer this question, we do not proceed any further. We are not wanting to work with companies that aren't going to be honest with us. We're not trying to snoop. We're not trying to ask for information that isn't relevant. But on the same note, we need to know the scale of this that we're looking at. Are we looking at taking you from 15 or 20,000 pounds a year up to 100, or are we looking at taking you from £1 million to 10 million? What's the scale of this, and where do you want to be and by when? And the final question in this first section is, who is responsible for delivering these results and who are the key team members? So with this question, we're now starting to expand this a little bit to say, right, if we're marketing your business and we're wanting you to take you from 500,000 to £1 million, the marketing of that's just the first cog in this wheel. We need to understand that the business structure behind that is in place, because otherwise our marketing is going to get tainted by bad service if you're not in the right set up there. So we don't really dive into that. We just ask for some information here, because after we receive this questionnaire, we're going to set up a discovery session, and you know what, we're going to dive into all of these questions in way more detail. So right now it's just about the overall sort of view of things, but you know what, your key team members, I'm going to ask for them to be at that discovery session, so you best put them in that box. So we've then got section two, which covers why are you in business, and we specify beyond making money. So this section is really designed for us to get an understanding of what makes you tick. What is it? Money, if you read or listen to Simon Sinek's TED Talk, he makes a very lucid point that businesses aren't in business to make money. Money's a byproduct. It's a result. It's not a reason to get to be in business. What is your why? And that's really where this section's going. So why was your company or organization created, and why does it exist? Very simple. Just give us what is it that you do? Why do you do it? What makes you get out of bed in the morning? Easy. No, question six. What are your business values or the core principles or standards that guide the way you do business? So here we're wanting to look for things that show that you have some form of responsibility to your clients, that you're taking your customers seriously. What are the things you try and achieve? What are your non-negotiables that you try and achieve for every client? And maybe that's not something that you have in your own business yet, but it really does clarify things if you can put into just a few bullet points the core things that you want to achieve, the core standards. With our agency, we talk about delighting clients a lot. So our core principles are about going the extra mile. They're about identifying new technologies or new opportunities for clients to excel. Maybe thinking about things from a different point of view. And we have lots of discussions with our clients about, hey, you know what? I've done this on an e-commerce website and yours is a lead gen website, but I think it just might work. Are you happy for us to give this a go? And building that level of trust so that we can get creative with what we do. Because you know what? If we just turn up and do the same thing all day, every day, life gets boring for us as well. So that's That's quite a big answer to what question six was all about, but you get the idea. We're wanting to work with people that already have this base level of understanding of their own business so that we can build on top of that. We're not trying to give them a business. Question seven. This now moves into another section, I should say, which is about who do you want your customers to be? Now, that's quite a targeted phrase, because this isn't saying who are your current customers, because we haven't established that yet, that your current customers are the right customers for you. So this is who do you want your customers to be. Think of your ideal person. Call it a persona, call it a target customer, call it whatever you want. Who do you want that person to be? So then we have questions around describing what your target customer looks like. Who specifically makes the decision to buy your product or service at your target customer? If you're working with smaller businesses and they're working with individuals, obviously that's one person. If you're working with larger organizations, that could be a number of people. And how do buyers search for your product or service? So how do they know that you exist? Is that referrals? Is it search engine optimization? Is it social media? What is it that you currently do in order to attract your ideal customer, if anything? And if you're not doing that, how are people finding you anyway? Next section. I'm going to lose the sections. The questions have numbers in this thing, but the sections don't. So I'm going to lose track of which section I'm into. But the next section is, what do you offer for your target customers? And this is where we ask people to describe their products or services. And we also ask them to outline which are the most profitable products and services and which are the least profitable products or services. And the reason we ask that question is that we've worked with clients basically on one of two footings. One is that they have a really profitable bit of their business that they're wanting to, the American term would be, double down. They're wanting to double down on or deep dive into. And they're kind of wanting to get rid of all of the other stuff. What they want to do is they found the 20% that makes them the most money, and they're wanting to just expand that. And that's a perfectly valid business growth model. Other clients, however, have a core service or core services or products, I should say, that just sell themselves. They don't need any marketing support at all. And they're perfectly happy just to let that tick on and do its own thing. And it's actually the bits that aren't making them the money that they want to invest in to grow. So that's also a perfectly valid business growth model. So what we're trying to do here is understand which way you want us to work with you. Are we trying to take the big thing, get rid of the rest, and just blow it up? Or are we letting the big thing just tick along? So we're going to have to create some kind of brand synergy with what you're doing over there, but take your lower value products or services and grow them so that they address the balance. So you've not got all your eggs in one basket when it comes to your product offering. We then also talk about your competitive advantage and why customers should choose you versus your competitors. And likewise, who do you see those competitors to be? Now, normally, we don't take their list as the definitive list. Most of our clients, we are working on some level of SEO with them. So we are wanting to include the people that they see as sort of sector-based competitors, and then we'll add in a few that are kind of Google-based competitors. So, you know, just because somebody isn't in the same industry as you, if they're ranking for a very similar keyword, for example, and that keyword's quite competitive, then they're a search engine results page competitor. So we'll massage those a little bit, and we go through what that is when we get to the discovery meeting. Right, so the next section of the questionnaire is, how do you win new business? And we ask them to outline what marketing they currently carry out and how effective it is, and to specify whether that's done online or offline. So the reason that we're asking this question is that we don't want to break anything that's currently working. When we start working with a new client on a retained basis, it's important for us that we start showing results quite quickly. So if they've got something that's already working, we don't necessarily want to come in as our first port of call and start changing that. We want to start augmenting it with other things. And then maybe 3 to 6 months down the line, we might then start reviewing the bit that's working and tweaking it so that it fits into a bigger picture. But we certainly don't want to dive straight in and break something, because that that doesn't end well. Please, another piece of advice, that doesn't end well. We also need to understand how they're mixing their online and offline communications, because in order for us to get going quickly, we are going to have to dovetail into some of this stuff. Over time, we can change anything, and we want to work with people that are happy with our suggestions, but we realize that we just can't switch off your marketing today, and then, you know, it's going to, your business is still going to carry on while we put something new in place. We need to be working on something new and knitting it into what you've got, so that over time the whole thing kind of moves, rather than scrapping it and starting from scratch. We also ask for a detailed breakdown of what your marketing budget is, so that we can understand that. Now, another query we get is, when we send this questionnaire before we quote, there's a whole load of this stuff that's really handy to know before we quote. But what is your marketing budget is one of the questions people get a bit funny about asking, or us asking, before we quote something, because they feel that we're just going to take their number and divide it by 12 and, hey, look, there's our estimate. And that's not the way we work it at all. We need to know whether things like pay-per-click are options to you, and if so, do you have the budget for them? If so, we can factor that into our plans. What are you currently spending money on? Maybe you have a marketing consultant or a copywriter or a freelance designer, and you know that's coming out of this, but they're resources that we can use so that you don't need to use our time for them. So there's a whole load of different ways we can structure your budget, but we need to know that you have one, and that budget is going to surpass our fee and give us some scope to play with. We then ask what the objectives are specifically for your website. So that could be brand awareness, leads, e-commerce sales, conversions, new customers, repeat business, using it as a loyalty metric or a brand validation metric when it comes to winning tenders. There could be a whole load of things that come into there. And through that website, what are the key messages that you want to get across to your target customers? Because 9 times out of 10, we get an answer to this question, and then when we look at their website, says something completely different, and we get to say, hang on a minute, you know, we're not trying to trip you up here, we're trying to be perfectly reasonable, but you're saying that you want to attract this, but you're actually saying that. So which is true, X or Y? Because we can work with either, but we need to know where we start. And then the final section is about, how do you delight your customers? Now, this is putting a little bit of us onto the client. I get that, because that's our model. But our tack, our strategy, our sort of ethos as a company is that we want to delight our customers because their success is our success. And the reason that we take that on as our kind of motto is that, you know what, if we can go over and above for a client, and we can say that, you know, they want to go from 500,000 to a million revenue in a year, and we get them from 500,000 to 1.2 million in a year, then A, they're ecstatic, because all of a sudden our fee just disappears. They know that we can do what we talk about. They know that we go over and above, that we deliver, essentially, that they can trust us. That's what it really boils down to, that they know, like, and trust us. But more than that, it then allows us to go back next year with a plan to say, right, so your marketing budget for 500,000 was X. You're now doing 1.2 million. So we want to increase your marketing budget to Y. And for that Y figure, whatever it might be, we've got this structure in place, and we want to scale it up. We want to bring on a new channel. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to do the other. And you know what? We're then becoming like a pseudo marketing director type for them. Spending their money, that then increases our fee. And you know that it all just works in a nice synergy. And by doing it that way, we then take our hard-earned clients that have been, you know, we've fought tooth and nail to get them onto these retainers in the first place. And rather than just being a 12-month retainer, they then become customers that will last 10, 20, 30 years, and it could be worth millions to us. I mean, that's ultimately it. So we want to know how you delight your customers. So we start this by looking at how they intend to manage the sales process online. So that could be a CRM, it could be through their website, it could be through I don't know. It could be through a whole host of different things. What's the way you intend to manage the sales process so that we know as we're getting you sort of cold to warmish leads before they actually convert, you have a process in place that we can work with in order to keep that going? Because ultimately, our marketing is determined by you getting a new customer. And there's a bit of that process that we're not necessarily in control of. So we need to make sure it's right before we start. We then also ask if there's any specific pieces of functionality that you feel you need in your website or your business system that needs to be integrated to improve that experience. So that could be to improve experience or it could be to reduce cost. And basically what we're really asking for is, do you have any problems? If we get you inquiries or leads, have you got any problems in actually making those into customers? Because if we need to support you there first, we will and we can, but that becomes top of the shop because we're not going to chuck a whole lot of effort and traffic at this if you're not ready to convert these people into paying customers. And then the very final question we ask is also a little bit of a prickly one, to be honest. And that is, we ask the question, what do your customers currently say about you? And to be honest, this is the one that we normally get back blank because people simply don't know. And if we get it back blank, that's fine. We get that. It will come up when we talk to you in our discovery session, and that's absolutely fine. And 9 times out of 10, that's because people haven't asked. So again, one of the quick wins that we can then structure as part of our plan is to go and talk to your existing customers. Go and get some feedback. Go and get some reviews, because then we can start using it as social proof. We can use it as marketing content. We can use it as blog content. We can look at asking them about the products and services that they had and what would enable them to spend more with you. So, I don't know, is there a bolt-on? Is there a V2? Is there something that, I don't know. We're getting into customer specifics now. But you get the idea. What do your customers currently say about you can open a can of worms that can lead to the good and the bad and the ugly, but it can also lead to a whole new world of business development. And that's really important that we understand. And then basically that's the form. There's the final thing says, what's next? And thanks for taking the time to fill this out. Please send it back to me and we can make a start for you. And that start is we're going to arrange a meeting. So let's get an appointment in the diary. So I hope you found that useful. It has been a bit of a whistle stop through it. And as I say, there will be a link in the show notes, which will be at peteeverett.com/079. And I hope you are, if you've got any questions, I hope it all makes sense. If you've got any questions, feel free to drop them in our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group. And I look forward to speaking to you next week.